On behalf of the faculty and staff, I welcome you to this 63rd annual commencement of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, a graduate division of Eastern Mennonite University. We gather to recognize and celebrate the accomplishments of these graduates and the support of many family members. This is an all-university commencement weekend, and we invite you to participate in as many of the activities as possible. It is with great joy that we share this celebration event in a commencement service of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. And today we honor 23 persons who are graduating or receiving certificates and are committing themselves to the knowledge that God's hand is leading them and holding them fast. Our prayer for them is that they will always experience the anointing of God's calling upon their lives. They are being sent to bring good news. This afternoon, we offer thanks to God for these graduates and their future ministries, and we are also grateful for the support of faculty and family members, and for the support of many contributors who believe in theological education. Dr. Michael A. King, Dean of the Seminary, will offer the invocation, after which Dr. Kenneth J. Nafziger will lead us in congregational singing. The service will proceed as printed in your program without further announcement.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, today we gather in your loving presence. We acknowledge you as the creator and sustainer of all that lives and breathes, and as the one within whom we move and have our beings. We thank you for the marvelous works, the heights and depths and mysteries through which we sense and glimpse you within and among and around us. You are the one who calls us by name and orders our steps, even at times we're not aware of or may actively doubt it. Today we celebrate your providential guidance of these graduates and each one of us. We acknowledge you as our Redeemer and Lord, whose image we recognize most clearly in the face of Jesus Christ, the one who pitched his tent among us. You have called us to be your disciples, to follow you as lifelong learners under the reign of God. We experience you as the Holy Spirit, whose still small voice guides us and whose winds at our backs empower us to do your will in the world. We invite your ongoing transforming presence and action in our lives as we celebrate with these graduates. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
From Acts chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I have to say. Those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." The word of God for the people of God.
It's my great pleasure this afternoon to introduce our guest speaker, Reverend Dr. Daniel L. Garrett, golfer and adjunct professor, United Methodist Studies at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, who will give the commencement address titled "Lessons from Grandpa, Dad, and Other Theologians." Dr. Garrett began seminary teaching while serving as a parish minister in the United Methodist Church. With a particular love of worship and sacramental theology, he began teaching courses at Eastern Mennonite Seminary in 1998. He also has long served as United Methodist advisor at EMS. In such roles, Dan has been a key contributor not only to Methodist studies, but also to rich ecumenicity at EMS and EMU. Following graduation from the University of Virginia in 1963, Dan was commissioned an officer in the U.S. Navy and served on active duty for 4 years. I am tempted to tell stories he has told me about those years, but I'll let him decide what stories he wants to tell. He earned the MDiv degree from Yale Divinity School in 1971 and a DMin from Wesley Theological Seminary in 1984. Dan is married to the Reverend Dr. Susan S. Garrett. They have two sons, David and Joshua, and three grandsons, Zachary, Jonathan, and Benjamin. Dan sings in the Sanctuary Choir at Braddock Street United Methodist Church. He's a weekly volunteer assisting the cook at the Winchester Salvation Army Shelter. He also serves as vice chairman of the Salvation Army Advisory Board. I would be remiss if I didn't stress Dan's huge contributions to my work, including his patient and wise counsel to a new dean who had much to learn about UMC policies. Dan played a critical role in the development of the EMS Wesley Theological Seminary Partnership, recently formalized. In years to come, if Methodist students don't like aspects of the partnership, I'm sure Dan's waiting to hear what I say next. If they don't like aspects of the partnership, they should blame me. If they experience flexible and creative aspects of the partnership, and I mean this seriously, I can't tell you how often Dan gave me links and possibilities and contributed to thinking about this. So if those students experience the partnership as creative and productive, they should credit Dan. I and we owe you, Dan, not one, but hundreds. Blessings.
I was afraid Michael's introduction was going to be longer than the commencement address. Thank you for those kind words. President Schwarzendruber, Provost Niss, Dean King, Dean Yoder, faculty colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, we gather today to celebrate this milestone in the life of the class of 2012 and to congratulate them and their families on this commencement day. And to this graduating class, we rejoice in your gifts for ministry that we have observed in many ways, and we face the future with you in confidence and in hope because of your gifts. Thank you for what you mean to Eastern Mennonite Seminary, both here on the main campus and at Lancaster. Congratulations to you on the accomplishments which bring you to this special day. And I want to applaud you now, invite all to join me as we applaud your gifts. At a faculty meeting back in February of 2011, when this commencement was being discussed, there was agreement that in the cycle of speakers, this was to be the year for a United Methodist to address you. And as the faculty is my witness today, I reminded them that all of the United Methodist speakers of note would be in Tampa, Florida today, at our general conference, which meets quadrennially, and they are in Tampa this very day. But the faculty insisted, no, we will have a United Methodist speaker. And given their choice, let me say it again. All of the noted United Methodist speakers are in Tampa, Florida today. But to the class of 2012, I will try to represent them as best I can. I will also try to keep the spirit of what the columnist George Will said last year when both of us reached the age of 70, and this is what he said. To be 70 is to experience a temptation generally worth resisting, the itch to natter on as Polonius did when belaboring Laertes with bromides. So in place of any advice to you today, I propose rather to share three experiences in my own ministry that have provided guiding lessons for the task. And I do that to challenge you to find similar guidance, not in what I have experienced, but in what you will experience and come to find in your own ministry. 45 years ago, I was about to enter seminary. I just completed a tour of active duty as a naval officer in the Vietnam War. And just prior to returning home, my ship was blown apart in a river
just below the demilitarized zone between North and South Vietnam. Returning home safely, I had a desire to go visit my extended family, and so I made a family pilgrimage to Ohio to connect with my family there. And sitting at the kitchen table with my grandfather and grandmother Garrett, I described my plans to enter seminary. My grandparents were members of the Sharon Avenue Free Methodist Church in Zanesville, Ohio. And they were more than just members. I think between the both of them, they had held every lay position in that congregation. And in one real sense, they were the patriarch and matriarch of that little congregation. They were what I would call old order Methodists. As I talked with them about going off to theological school, it became apparent that Grandpa was not sure that a seminary education was a necessary foundation for effective ministry. He had been a successful businessman, co-owner and operator with his brother of the Garrett Coal Company. He had chaired the county school board. He'd done all right after completing the fourth grade of public education. And book learning was not likely to improve any sermons that he expected on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and at the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Grandpa was even more convinced when I told him that I was going to Yale Divinity School. In spite of his reservations, and when it became apparent to him that I was actually going to do this, he finally said something to me that I've never forgotten through 45 years of ministry. "Danny boy, preach the truth. Preach the truth." Grandpa didn't have a Master of Divinity degree, but he knew something about the truth of the gospel, the truth that was in Jesus Christ. And he challenged me that day to put everything I was about to learn and everything I was about to experience into the service of that truth. His words have been important to me over these years. They have inspired my efforts, and they have corrected my failures. A second lesson grew out of my seminary experience and the search in years of ministry for an image that could keep me grounded in all the seasons of ministry and the various places and contexts where I was called to serve. Ministry is challenging, as you know. Inspiring at points, perplexing in practice, shifting in context. Sometimes on the mountaintop, but more often in the valley. I found myself returning to an ancient text that speaks of the church in its earliest days. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Returning many times to this text, I found myself heartened when perplexed or discouraged to focus again on what is essential, what is basic. While chairing our conference board of discipleship one year in Virginia, I was part of a planning meeting with all of our conference agencies, and we had gathered with our bishop and we were setting goals for the days ahead. And when the bishop called on me for what I thought from the perspective of the Board of Discipleship our goals should be, I invited that group to try to anticipate and imagine what the church would be doing in the 29th century. I admitted that I had no idea what the demographics would be like, what technologies might be available, or even if we would still be on this planet, but that I thought in whatever forms might be available to the church, it would probably be doing some basic things. paying attention to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. What can guide us as the technologies and tools for ministry are ever changing? Leonard Sweet, a Drew seminary, says we're living in what he calls TGIF days. Twitter, Google, iPhones, and Facebook. I used to pride myself on being just like Pope Benedict, who said that he was on Facebook but didn't tweet. You can imagine my sense of being left behind recently when I discovered that even now the Pope says that he tweets. I just can't keep up in this modern day. In fact, when I graduated from seminary, we didn't even have computers. The hottest technological gadget was a cassette tape recorder. How did we do ministry in those days? And I remember with my new MDiv degree in hand, I was talking with my father, who was then a pastor in Alexandria. And I told him about the latest technologies and what I had learned at Yale. And I said to him that if you will buy a cassette tape recorder and record your sermons and then review them, that your preaching will be greatly improved. And so my father, in the 30th year of ordained ministry, already a wonderful preacher, went out and bought a tape recorder and put it on the pulpit one Sunday and recorded his sermon. And my mother described the dramatic effects. They came home from church that Sunday, and after lunch, while my mother finished up in the kitchen, he went into the living room and turned on the tape of his sermon. The modern tools of ministry were now in place. And hearing the recording, my mother left the kitchen and went into the living room to join my father. And there he was in his favorite chair with the sermon playing and him fast asleep. Undone by modern technology. And now you have it, the first documented case in church history of a preacher put to sleep by his own sermon. I expect to come back in future years and look at the timelines in the Christian tradition course to see if this event is included in church history. Who can predict what technologies will make ministry possible in new ways in the future? I would suggest that no matter what they are, you will need some guiding focus for what the church is about to keep those technologies instrumental to the church's purposes. Danny boy, preach the truth. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. A third lesson came from the ordination sermon preached by Bishop Paul Washburn when I was ordained an elder in the United Methodist Church. His words have guided my efforts to this day. And here's what he said. I would like to exhort you to apply your ministry out of a reference to the future which God has promised. And it just might be that if you'll preach and celebrate the sacraments and attempt to form disciples out of a reference to the future, that you will come to be known as those with good news for a world that's had enough bad news. That image that he used in that sermon grew out of the eschatological focus of what was called the theology of hope. It was given expression in a particular era of theological endeavor, but it brought to the fore ancient, enduring biblical themes. Where are we headed? And what are the promises toward that day where God already is? It is important to remember faith's orientation to the future of God's promise. Without it, we'll get overwhelmed in the bad news of our own day. It is our business to bring good news to a waiting world. Throughout 45 years of ministry, I have found these several guiding lessons to help anchor me in the task. Preach the truth. Devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. Ply your ministry out of a reference to the future which God has promised. Perhaps your class theme that you have developed this year will be one of those anchors for your ministry in the days ahead. And I can think of nothing better than a commencement along the lines of locating oneself in the power and the wisdom of God to embrace a holy calling in what the world still sees as weakness and foolishness. Your litany of commissioning today says it best. Remember the foolishness of the cross. It is the power of God for salvation. In these and other gospel themes, you take your place among us this day, and we rejoice to welcome your gifts for ministry and take heart in being fellow travelers with you toward that future. Thanks be to God who has gone before us, who attends us now in this gracious call to ministry, and who awaits us in the promised future. Amen.
To all of you who have made the experience of seminary more valuable by your diversity and enthusiasm, may our time of celebration remind you of your days of study with us, or at least provide hope that it is possible to finish a master's degree and still stand upright to speak of it. Behind each student that graduates today is a body of people who deserve more thanks and appreciation than we have time to give. These congregations are varied in many ways, but all of them have had an immeasurable impact on the lives of each of us. Whether we were sojourners for a period of time, or have had long-lasting relationships, or even provided pastoral leadership, the congregations that have loved, supported, and challenged us will have a lasting impact on our formation during this chapter of our story. I would like to personally extend my thanks to the congregation of Glossbrenner United Methodist. I hope that my 5 years of seminary have been of some benefit to you. I know that however you wish to measure that period of time, it in no way compares to the blessing that you have been to me. I cannot imagine having completed this without your prayers, love, and encouragement. I cannot wait to see what God is going to do with us in the next 5 years. Along with our congregations, our class has a deep sense of appreciation and gratitude for our families. Thank you to all the spouses, parents, grandparents, siblings, in-laws, and children who have endured seminary. Thank you for listening to and dealing with our frustrations, our enthusiasm, those frantic end-of-semester moments, and all the other things we have put you through. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being present. Thank you for loving us. Throughout this weekend of commencement activities, it has become apparent that each of us participants will put a slightly different emphasis on the words of gratitude that I have shared. But I feel confident in stating one affirmation that all of us can share. This is a day that God has blessed us with. God has richly blessed each of us, and there is deep gratitude for that blessing. The entire litany of thanks that I have offered all come under the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Thanks be to God. Classmates, my final words are to you. And by no means do I think that you need my wisdom, but instead I wanted to share some thoughts about my time with you, what I have learned from you. As we discuss possibilities for our class theme and work towards the eventual theme of Fools for the Gospel, it became clear to me that many of the adventures we will embark upon after graduation might be deemed foolish to the world at large. And with that thought in mind, I began to understand the importance of perseverance. We have had ample opportunity to persevere in seminary, either through reading one more book, writing one more paper, or finishing one more year, we have persevered. But yet that skill will still be needed as we travel to our next locale. I take with me a spirit of perseverance. And with that spirit of perseverance, I enter into the unknown, much in the same fashion that I entered seminary. Unknown, not in a sense that I do not know where God is calling me, but unknown that I have no idea how I will be shaped and formed by what lies ahead. Our time together has made me aware that it is not about my plan or my ability to discern the future, but it is about God's plan, where He is calling me. So with that thought, I exit this place, willing to persevere through the unknown, while understanding that I am not alone. And this final point is where I will end today. You all have taught me that no matter how bleak things might look or how lonely it might seem, that I am not alone. Not only do I have the assurance that the Holy Spirit is with me and that I have a wife and family that love me, but I have spent the past years being embraced by a Christ-centered community that has declared, "You are not alone." So today, we celebrate together and we depart to persevere into the unknown, fully understanding that we are not alone. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam, for your kind words on behalf of the graduating class of 2012. Thank you also for the many ways you've exercised leadership within the seminary community and beyond during your time among us. I also want to thank those of you who served along with Adam as class officers, Nicholas Detwaller Stoddard, Aaron Kaufman, and Brian Gum. The four of you have served your class well indeed. And we want to thank all of you as an entire senior class for your class gift of United Methodist hymnals. Your gift and its highlighting of exciting diversity at EMS will continue to symbolize the treasures of your time among us for years to come. As part of thanking Dan Garrett, I do want to make one correction to the record. As the faculty are my witnesses, we were aware that many eminent Methodists would be in Tampa. We wanted one eminent Methodist to be in Harrisonburg, Virginia. He was here, and we greatly appreciate that. For all of you as graduates, this moment represents a special achievement that points to personal discipline. I was already going to say this, Adam, perseverance. Hard work, and also, often enough, learning that amid and sometimes, even especially within wounds, anxieties, or failures, God's strength within the foolishness of the gospel can flourish. Now is the time to celebrate that achievement. Even as Adam noted the contributions that other individuals have made to your lives, we also, as Adam has let us in thinking about, thank God for the grace given to every one of you to bring you this far. It is indeed through such grace, not simply your own efforts, great as they have been, that you have reached this point in your studies and in your ability to minister to others. Some of you are also about to be honored for outstanding scholarly work. I must say that I have long been moved by the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, the many texts in which Jesus stresses that the first shall be last and the last shall be first, the texts highlighted in the litany that you're going to hear in a few minutes. I believe we need to be careful, therefore, to celebrate all among us who have known loss, poverty of soul or body, brokenness of mind or spirit. We can turn awards into status markers the Beatitudes subvert. Yet Jesus also calls forth from his disciples new life and accomplishment, as when he so memorably asks even a failed Peter three times whether Peter loves him, and then sends Peter forth to feed his sheep. So we do want to celebrate ways God calls forth multiple gifts from among us, and accordingly to name seven of you whose work in various fields faculty members see as meriting public affirmation. As recognition for this distinction, each of you will receive a subscription to a respected journal in your field and a certificate of award. I invite each of you to stand when I call your name. Please remain standing until all names are announced, and I suggest we hold our applause until all are recognized. From among those earning the Master of Divinity degree, excellence in biblical studies, Aaron Kaufman. Excellence in theological studies, with a focus on peace building, Brian Gum. Excellence in pastoral ministry, Lee Martin. Excellence in pastoral care and specialized ministries, Tammy James. Excellence in practical theology, with a focus on spiritual formation, Angela Moyer. From among those earning the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, Conflict Management and Peace Building, Keith Weaver. From among those earning the Master of Arts in Religion, Excellence in Theological Studies, Brian Miller. We congratulate each of you for your hard work and the ways God has drawn treasures from your studies, passions, and experiences. You may be seated. And now we come to the special moment that many have been anticipating ever since you started your studies, the conferring of your degrees. I see some facial expressions suggesting a welcome of this event. Upon recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary and upon the approval of the Board of Trustees of Eastern Mennonite University, I do present the class of 2012 for the conferring of your degrees. You will note in your program booklet that the names of the graduates are listed under various degrees. 11 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Divinity, a 3-year degree program of preparation for Christian ministry. Please stand and remain standing. One student has completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Religion, a 2-year degree program of academic study of theology. Please stand and remain standing. Maybe you've been put off by what has hit me as I've been introducing you, which is 3 years and 2 years and such like, when we have 5 years and 8 years and 10 years and 12 years, and that's wonderful too. We're going to have to rethink how we think about these years. And three of you have completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, a 2-year, so to speak, degree program of study with specialization in a particular area of ministry. Would those of you in that category please stand? We have listed 6 of you who have earned certificates for ministry studies and 2 who have earned certificates in theology for peace building. The certificates require at least 24 credit hours of graduate study. Although a certificate does not represent the attainment of a degree, it does indicate a significant milestone in seminary training. We celebrate the achievement of those who have earned certificates by listing your names in the program booklet and invite those of you who are present to stand. President Schwarzentruber, I am pleased to present the persons who are now standing for the conferring of their respective degrees.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and upon the authority vested in me by the University Board of Trustees, the Mennonite Education Agency, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, I confer upon you so presented the degree of Master of Divinity, and upon you so presented the degree of Master of Arts in Religion, and upon you so presented the degree of Master of Arts in Church Leadership, with all the rights, honors, and privileges pertaining thereto. We further endorse you for continuing the ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, and with encouragement to be in covenant with a community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ. You may move your tassels from the right to the left, and you may be seated. Some of the rest of you should just remain standing. That's okay. We will make this more clear next year. On behalf of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, I wish to recognize those so presented for the intensive study and achievement in completing the requirements of the course prescribed, and therefore award, as so presented, the Certificate in Ministry Studies and the Certificate in Theology for Peace Building. We further endorse your continuing ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your lives, and urge you to covenant with the community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ. You may be seated.
I will read the names of the graduates as they appear in your program. Please hold your applause until all graduates have received their diplomas, at which time there will be ample opportunity for all of us to celebrate the achievements of all of those graduating. For the Master of Divinity degree, Adam L. Blagg. Adam will transition to a full-time position as pastor of Glossbrenner United Methodist Church in Churchville, Virginia. Todd Barry Christensen. Todd will pursue ordination in the Lutheran Church and a rural pastorate position along with chaplaincy. Nicholas Lee Detweiler Stoddard. Nicholas is anticipating a pastoral assignment in a Mennonite congregation in the Midwest. Brian R. Gum. Brian is pursuing possibilities in areas ranging from educational leadership in church-affiliated organizations to bivocational grassroots pastoral ministry and peace-building. Tammy Carter James. Tammy will be a chaplain resident at the University of Virginia Medical Center beginning May 1. Aaron Michael Kaufman. Aaron will continue serving at Virginia Mennonite Missions as Global Ministries Director and as an Advancement Associate. Lee Allen Martin. Lee will continue to serve as pastor of Mount Clinton Mennonite Church, Harrisonburg, Virginia. Angela Moyer. Angela will pursue bivocational ministry in Allentown, Pennsylvania as pastor of women, children, and youth at Ripple and work as a pediatric occupational therapist.
Robert Phillips Rousseau. Robert is moving to North Carolina and exploring pastoral work with rural Baptist churches. Philip Chapman Showers. Phil will continue serving as founding pastor of Christ Community Fellowship, a United Methodist congregation in Lynchburg, Virginia, and also as senior pastor of Parkview Community Mission, a major mission initiative of the Lynchburg District of the Virginia Conference of the United Methodist Church. Melissa Fletcher Zook. Melissa is exploring opportunities in youth and children's ministries. For the Master of Arts in Religion, Brian Miller. Brian will continue to serve as lead pastor at Sunnyside Mennonite Church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. For the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, John Raymond Heim. John is pursuing a call to discipleship and small group ministries. Jeffrey Dale Light. Jeff will continue in the Lord's call on his life as the pastor of the Novum Baptist Church in Madison County, Virginia. L. Keith Weaver. Keith will continue serving in an executive leadership role in Lancaster Mennonite Conference in Pennsylvania. For the Certificate in Ministry Studies, Wilmer Dale Detweiler. Dale is exploring a bivocational pastoral assignment in a Mennonite congregation in Pennsylvania. Sean Wesley Horn in absentia, Pablo Hernandez Latino in absentia, Jose Lino Lopez Jr. Jose is exploring pastoral and missionary opportunities in church planting and dealing with conflict. Bryony Martin in absentia, Luis Gerardo Martinez in absentia. For the Certificate in Theology for Peacebuilding, Roger W. Foster. A founding member of the Foster-Dougherty Group, a Harrisonburg partnership engaged in consulting for sustainable conflict transformation, Roger plans to use his training from Eastern Mennonite Seminary and the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding to help churches and other organizations deal with enduring conflicts. Hong-Suk Kim. Hong-Suk is exploring opportunities in the area of conflict transformation in church settings. You may now offer your applause for all of these graduates.
Mark Thiessen Nation, Professor of Theology, and Mary Thiessen Nation, Adjunct Professor in Mission Studies, will lead a litany of commissioning, followed by a hymn. Following the blessing and benediction by Dr. Michael King, Seminary Dean, please remain standing for the recessional of the faculty and graduates. All graduates and your families, along with the faculty and staff, are invited to the President's reception this evening between 8:30 and 10 p.m. in the University Commons Mall. I cannot see outside, but in the case of rain, we ask that you proceed quickly to the Campus Center Greeting Hall, which is in the Campus Center to our left as we exit this building, to greet your graduates. If it's not raining, you're welcome to use the front lawn. Go in peace. Mark and Mary.
You might look at your litany of commissioning very briefly to locate the groups with which you will speak, and we invite the graduates and their immediate families gathered here to stand. Graduates, you followed the call of God's Spirit in the church when you embarked on your seminary studies.
You chose to learn, to be formed, to be trained as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
When you considered our call, not many of us were wise by human standards. Not many of us were powerful, or wealthy, or of noble birth.
We sought to equip you for your future ministries, through formation and instruction, through friendship and accountability, through shared meals, and the careful grading of your work.
We have read thousands of pages and written numerous papers. We have prayed and wept together. We have worshipped, rejoiced, and laughed together. We have learned much about the Christian faith, about our lives in Christ, about our call as ministers of the gospel.
We have supported you and witnessed your preparation for ministry. Today we celebrate the completion of your hard-earned degrees.
We heartily join the celebration, and yet we pause, for your degrees provide a new set of temptations.
You may now appear to be wise by human standards. You may be assigned titles or given status and power.
You will be tempted, as we all are, to forget that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Remember the foolishness of the cross.
It is the power of God for salvation.
We acknowledge that Christ Jesus is the source of our lives.
May Christ become for you wisdom from God.
What is the most astounding fact you can share with us about the universe?
And redemption.
The most astounding fact.
Only in the Lord.
The most astounding fact
is the knowledge.
Love, justice, and righteousness in all the earth.
We boast in the Lord who acts with steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in all the earth.
We commission you, therefore, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Live with humility and confidence in our Lord, who reminds us all.
My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Thanks be to God.
As we prepare to leave this place of worship and celebration, I offer these words of blessing to you graduates. Through the words of the Jesus whom God anointed, receive the good news Jesus offers each of us amid our own experiences of oppression, broken hearts, captivity, and imprisonment. Then as ones who have personally known such blessing, who minister as those in whom God's strength is made perfect through human weaknesses, go forth in the Spirit, go forth in the Lord's anointing, go forth to bring likewise to those now wounded and torn the good news. As you go, carry with you the moving assurance of Jesus, which is that the very same Spirit who dwelt in him, the one he called the Advocate, is the Spirit he has asked to be with you now and forever. Go then after these years of training, ever more fully to hear and follow your call, with the assurance that the Advocate abides with you and will be in and with you amid all that lies ahead for you. Blessings in the name of Jesus, the one anointed by the Spirit, who now sends you forth in the Spirit. Go in that hope, that assurance, and in that empowerment.